This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Alexandra Kazarian joining us again, criminal defense attorney with Garagos & Garagos. She is, without a doubt, one of the best out there. Want to talk, Alexandra, as we continue to examine the Daybell case, about Lori's antics last week, where she didn't want to come back into court in the afternoon. And one, if you were to look at it from the prism of a mother who's seeing images of their decomposing children, that's an understandable thing. If you're a healthy, normal human being, no one would want to do that. However, we're talking about Lori Vallow Daybell here, who's being accused of murdering those very same children. But she's innocent until proven guilty. Is there any room in the law for her to be able to sit that sort of thing out? Should we see more of it in the coming days or weeks of this trial?
So generally, the only time that a defendant, especially in a death penalty case, the only way that a trial can proceed without the defendant is if the defendant has willingly absented themselves from the proceedings. So even if it's a DUI crime, if a trial has started and just doesn't show up the next day, they flee, then the court will proceed in the case without them and will have the jury look at that empty chair and will tell the jury that chair is empty because this person has decided not to be here and they don't have permission from the court. And you can now assume that the reason that they're not here is because they're guilty, and you can use that to decide, or is because they have consciousness of guilt, is because they think that they are guilty. And you can use that in your deliberations when you're deciding whether they are or not. So there has been no evidence offered to the court that she is absenting herself or requesting to absent herself because there's a consciousness of guilt. It's too emotional for me. So in that situation, I think the court has discretion, meaning the court is allowed to make that decision, but I don't think a judge would ever do that because it creates so many appellate issues. If she's found guilty, then she can argue that even though the jury wasn't supposed to use her absence as consciousness of guilt, the court allowed the case to go on with an empty chair and that the jury did use her absence as consciousness of guilt. So it would not make sense for a judge to allow that because it would open it up to appellate arguments later on.
Even though she's the one who was requesting to not be there.
Yes, and especially because there is the continuing issue of her competency. At the time that she requested to leave court, was she competent? Mm-hmm. Any defense appellate attorney would argue at that time that she requested to be absent, she was not competent, mm-hmm. and the trial could not proceed when she's not competent and not present. And essentially, if you're not competent, the whole argument is, if I'm not competent while my trial is going on, I'm not there.
Yeah.
I am not present. So you've got that double layer of not only is she physically actually not there, she's not there because she was incompetent. She wasn't present in order to ask to be gone. So the judge never should have allowed that to happen. So it just creates way too many problems in a death penalty case. I cannot imagine a judge that would say, sure, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Like, take a break from this while we all deal with it.
Is there, I'm just saying, what if she just really refuses to come in and refuses to leave her cell at the end of the, or the beginning of the day? I mean, could she physically be brought into court? I know the judge even used the term the other day, bound and gagged, in some kind of citing some sort of case law. I don't foresee that we're going to go that far, but it's Lori Vallow Daybell. Where I feel like almost anything is possible because she'll do whatever she wants to do. Would that just be declared a mistrial or something? Because at that point, it would be some sort of evaluation, I would think, under her competency. Or would it be, you know, we're not going to put up with your antics and we're going to bring you in here whether you like it or not?
So the only way that there would be a break for an incompetency proceeding in the middle of trial, and yes, the court would have to break the trial, would have to stop the trial, if her lawyers say, at this point, I believe her competency has declined, she's not able to appreciate the proceedings, and she's not able to assist me in her defense. Mm-hmm. And that's why we need a competency evaluation. At that point, the court would stop the proceedings, would appoint a doctor who would evaluate her, and would come back with their findings. If the doctor found that she was what's called malingering, which means faking, which the doctors have a way of doing. There are very specific tests that they give, very specific questions that they ask. And if she just flat out refuses to answer those questions, the doctor will come to the conclusion that she is malingering because there's no evidence that she's actually incompetent.
Yeah.
And these tests are designed to, you know, ask certain questions over and over again in certain ways. So if somebody's trying to manipulate the test, psychologically, it's obvious to the doctor what they're doing. And so the doctor can come out with a ruling that, or with a finding that, that again, she's malingering. So that would happen. But then if she comes back competent, or if the attorneys don't make that argument, if they just don't have any reason to make that argument, if she's just saying, I'm not going to come out because I refuse, then yes, that's exactly why the judge told her that. Because once the judge tells her, if you do this, I am not going to excuse you from the trial. I will bring you in. And I have had cases where my clients are like Hannibal Lecter, literally bound to a gurney. And if they are interrupting the proceedings, they will be bound. I've had cases where my clients have had spit masks on, which is this horrific, you know, screen device. It actually looks like if you're fencing, and it's like a fencing helmet.
Sure.
Because they are spitting at people. And so there are ways that courts have approved for defendants to be present, because you have a right to be present, and the prosecution has the right to a speedy trial, meaning that the prosecution has the right to put on a case, and a defendant cannot be disruptive, cannot stop the proceedings so that the prosecution can't put on their case. So yeah, it could happen. Absolutely. Wow. It would be terrible for her,
sure,
because all of the work that the defense has done to humanize her would just, I mean, be obliterated.
Yeah. If she were to do that and they had to force her to come in, if she was malingering, yeah, I can't imagine that would be a wise move on the part of Lori Vallow, Daybell. But wow.
Yeah. Who's going to believe that somebody didn't kill their children when they're strapped to a Hannibal Lecter gurney and gagged?
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Alexandra Kazarian, thank you so much for being on and giving us your insights onto all of this. Alexandra, criminal defense attorney of Garagos & Garagos, thank you so much. Hey, if you like the show, become a subscriber. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Get an ad-free subscription through Apple Podcasts right now. Even try it for 3 days free. I'm Tony Bruschi. You can follow me on Twitter at Tony B Pod. Stay with us.